Entrepreneurs can have a hard time divorcing their passion for a big idea from the business sense required to actually build a strong business plan. I'm Jennifer Merritt of the Wall Street Journal for Business Insight. With me today is John Mullins, professor of management practice at London Business School, whose forthcoming book argues that entrepreneurs need to step back from their passion and be open to ditching plan A and even plans B and C. What kind of conversation should you have with yourself to make sure your passion for an idea or a solution translates into good business?
Jennifer, I think the first thing that you've got to do is ask yourself, is my passion about the solution I have, or is my passion about solving some particular customer problem or pain? So I think the first question is to step into your customer's shoes and try and understand what the customer really needs. Because if the customer doesn't need what you're passionate about, it probably isn't going to go very far. So ask yourself, am I passionate about solving a customer problem, or am I passionate about some idea that I have, regardless of its merit?
How can you get back on track if you do sense that what you're passionate about or this solution that you envision isn't quite right?
Well, first of all, that's the most common outcome. If you ask investors where they make their money, virtually all of them will tell you they never make money on plan A. They always make it on plan B or plan C, even plan Z. So you almost have to build in an expectation that what you're starting with isn't quite right, and that your task is to learn what parts of it aren't right so that you can get those parts right.
Once you do that, what do you do next?
There's not much that's really new in the world if you think about it. If you look at movie plots, for example, I think somebody once said there are 37 different possible movie plots, and every movie is some combination of those 37 plots. I think the same is true with ideas for new ventures. There's nothing that's completely new. So my suggestion is that actually you look for businesses that have gone before you that you want to copy something from. You may not copy at all. You copy an idea from here, another idea from there. We call those analogs, companies from which you're going to learn something and pattern what you do after what they did. But there are also antilogs, where you take a company that's gone before, you study what they've done, and you say, either I don't want to do that, or perhaps I want to do it, but I want to turn it upside down. So Steve Jobs did that, for example, in making Apple into a music company. He took the razor and razor blades model, in which most companies give the razors away at a very low price and make all their money selling the repeat purchase blades. The makers of inkjet printers do the same kind of thing. We pay, you know, lots of money for those little cartridges full of ink. But Jobs turned it upside down and said, I'm going to make my money on the razor, the iPod, and I'm going to give away the tunes at a very low price, 99 cents.
Okay, so once you've decided or figured out whether or not you're looking at an analog solution or an antilog solution, where do you go from there?
Well, what happens is when you look at these things that have gone before, they give you a lot of information, and importantly, they give you a lot of numbers. So you can begin to build a set of economic fundamentals taken from what these other companies have done. But inevitably, those analogs or antilogs will not answer all of your questions definitively, because you're going to be selling something different, perhaps at a different time, perhaps into a different market. So there'll be some unanswered questions that what Randy Commissar and I in our new book, Getting to Plan B, call leaps of faith. And what you have to do is use the analogs and antilogs to identify those leaps of faith, figure out which are the crucial ones that could kill your business in a heartbeat, and then say, okay, how am I going to test that leap of faith quickly, inexpensively, before I waste too much time and money on this idea?
What if you find out then that your plan A or even your plan B isn't quite right?
Well, almost always that's what you find out, but typically parts of your plan A or plan B might be right. So you begin to refine things and you say, well, gee, that price I had in mind isn't quite right, but this other price looks like it'll work. Or, gee, I was going to do it in blue, but the customers want green. Whatever it is, you keep testing a series of hypotheses until you get enough affirmative hypotheses that you can put those answers together with your analogs and antilogs, and then you have some evidence instead of just a bunch of, you know, suppositions that you you passionately think my work, but actually you had no evidence. Now you have evidence.
And you say that this was something that the founder of PayPal went through.
Yeah, very interesting story. Max Levchin is the founder of PayPal, and he had world-class cryptography skills. So he could make data secure. That was what he was really good at. And he said, well, I think the world is going to go digital and going to go handheld, so I'm going to provide security for handheld devices like PDAs. Well, it turned out when he tested that leap of faith that somebody would actually buy that, he found out they wouldn't. And the same thing happened when he tested plan B, C, D, E, and F. But very interestingly, he came up with another idea that he built a little web demonstration for, and he put the website up to try this other idea, which is plan F, and it turned out more people actually used the website to swap money than they did for what he had built it for. So he said, aha, maybe that's my business. That was plan G, the seventh plan, and that became what we know as PayPal today.
So once you've actually taken these steps back, like he did, and aligned the passion that you have and the skill that you have with a real strong solution, how do you actually translate that into a workable business plan?
Well, actually, it's my and Randy's view that focusing on a business plan is really the wrong thing to do. Most business plans are written way too soon. Most of them have very little evidence to back up any of the assertions they make. And they can be a straitjacket that locks you into a predetermined path that, as we've seen, probably isn't right. So instead of focusing on a business plan, we suggest that people get a mindset that says, I'm on a learning journey here, and I can kind of plot out a roadmap. We call it a dashboard, kind of like the dashboard in your car, that's going to keep track of certain key elements as you go along testing these ideas and testing leaps of faith and maybe getting to market and then seeing how the market gives you feedback. And you keep getting data to learn more and more. And that learning process never ends.
Well, thank you for your insights, John.
You're welcome, Jennifer.
You can read more about this and other management topics in the Business Insight Journal report. I'm Jennifer Merritt for the Wall Street Journal.